Have you been looking for a supportive space where you can talk lupus advocacy and business? Then I have the group for you. Join the Loopy Boss Academy on Facebook today. You'll gain exclusive access to valuable info on lupus advocacy and business strategies. Plus, you'll have networking opportunities with fellow lupus warrior bosses. So, don't miss out. Find us on Facebook now and let's empower each other to take our lupus advocacy and life to the next level. Hi, welcome to Lupus Speaks Podcast, where we shine a spotlight on lupies who are bossing it in business, inspiring others, and making a mark in the lupus community. I'm your host, Shadrika Holmes, on a mission to showcase the incredible journeys of lupus warriors turned entrepreneurs, influencers, and advocates. So get ready for empowering stories, insightful conversations, and a dose of inspiration. This is not just a podcast, it's a platform for you to dream again. So join me as we explore the possibilities beyond lupus and celebrate the resilience of lupus community. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Lupus Beats Podcast. And today we have our guest, Tanelle Stewart, and she is so extraordinary. She was actually diagnosed with lupus at the age of 19, and her battle with lupus has been so impactful that it's been documented in medical journals. Mm-hmm. And our paths have crossed when we were at a lupus summit this past year in mm-hmm. October. And my fiance actually ran into you first, and he was like, you have to check this girl out. She's got this vegan food. She's a vegan. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm into that. So that's kind of like how I met you and how we connected. And I just really wanted you to be on the show because I was inspired by your story and just like how you've been able to take everything and make a business out of it. So tell us a little bit more about your journey, the diagnosis, and what led you into business.
So I was diagnosed when I was 19, so I had never heard of lupus. Furthermore, I'm 38 since November. So that was, you know, a million years ago. And literally, I had never heard of it. I'd never heard of the words autoimmune disease. I didn't even know what that meant. When I said that to people, they were like, what? You got like the HIVs? What you got? Because they were so confused also. And they basically made it sound like a death sentence, especially my first flare up. I had a doctor tell me, oh, with severity like this, you'll be dead by 30. With just a straight face, just very, like, you know, nonchalant, you'll be dead by 30 if we can make it last that long. And I was like, okay, cool. I got rid of that rheumatologist very quickly. I promise you, I got my feelings hurt and got my first flare-up. Like, It's embarrassing to think back on, but I really do think that, like, when I'm stressed, overly stressed, or very, very, like, emotional about something, that usually can bring on a flare-up. So, yeah, I had a situation. I moved to a new state, like, kind of against my will, being, like, a teen who couldn't really support herself, and left my friends from, like, my whole life back in Florida, and I moved to New York, and I was upset about that. And then I started making new friends, and then there was a boy and all this stuff. And then that turned out to be so bad with the boy that I was just like, I came home and I like slept for 2 weeks. Like, I would get up and take a shower and go back to sleep. I just slept for 2 weeks. And my grandmother was like, what's going on? Tamil is never in the house as much. Why is she sleeping so much? And then I stopped taking a shower. I just stop getting out of bed. And my grandmother was the first one to be like, something is going on. This is not my Tanil. Like, something is happening. And then I started getting high fevers and I couldn't get out of bed. And then I got a full body rash and I really couldn't get out of bed. And eventually my parents took me to the ER and were like, she's, something's going on. Her fever has been consistently really high, and she's got these little bumps all over, and she never, nothing's like happened like this before. And then it took 8 months of, I wasn't eating. I was just like tired, sleepy all the time. I just started being in full pain, like achy body, head to toe. Like when I used to have really bad flare ups, they would be like, my hair follicles hurt. It hurt to bleed. Mm-hmm. Like I just, everything, I like it hurt to exist. I was like, why does being alive hurt right now? So 8 months of back and forth to the hospital, every doctor there is, all the tests and retests, and no one was believing, like, no one was believing it was lupus, like how on that show House, they're like, it's never lupus. Like, I legit think they thought, no, it can't be lupus. No one has lupus. And eventually, they diagnosed me, and I was just, like, sad. I thought my life was just gonna be in bed for the rest of my life because I could not get up, and I could not do anything. I just was so exhausted, and yeah, it was really bad for the first flare-up, or what I thought was really bad at that time, because, you know, it got worse. It got worse after that. Yeah, but that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you said that you got diagnosed at 19, so what a part of that process had you in the medical journals for your condition?
So that wasn't, when I got diagnosed, that was my first major flare, but that wasn't the one in the medical journals. A few years later, I think I was like 24, something like that. It's 2010-ish, I guess. I was in the medical journals because I was in the hospital 3 months, and it's a teaching hospital, Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx. I swole up like a balloon from my head all the way to my belly button, like unrecognizable Mr. Potato Head, eyes swollen shut, all that. I looked like a balloon. They used something on me to get me to stop swelling that was like still under, like wasn't FDA approved yet. They had run out of options. I was in the ICU for like 2 weeks that I don't really remember, but I was in the hospital overall for about 3 months. And then I had to go to Burke Rehab Center in White Plains, New York to learn how to be a human again. Like I didn't have the energy or strength to lift my own head. I couldn't figure out how to like brush my teeth or like do normal stuff. My brain wasn't really functioning. It was fried from all the high fevers. I had to learn how to walk again. I did a lot of like mind tuning, like little kid puzzles and stuff like that to like get my brain back to whatever. I had just graduated college. When I usually get a major flare up, it has to be three things that are devastating that happened to me, right? So it was, I totaled my car. I had like finals and graduation for college, and my uncle got murdered within like weeks of each other, and my body just crumbled. And I tried as hard as I could to stay out of the hospital, because once you go to the hospital, they'd be keeping you in the hospital. So that flare up was the longest, like at that time, the longest and like the most devastating. And like doctors came from all over to look at me, and people from other schools and other hospitals came to like contest the diagnosis. Like they're like, oh, it has to be something else. Some, like, we've never seen anything like this, whatever. And then they had found that on the West Coast, there was something somewhat similar that has happened to somebody at that time. But on the East Coast, nothing had ever happened. They had never seen anything like that. So, and they got to use that, injectable, whatever it was, to help the swelling stop, because they just couldn't get to stop. And they thought my full body was just going to be a balloon, and they just full inflammation over my entire body. So, I guess it's from using that, and the severity and the pictures are just like, every time I show people pictures, they're like, what? That's your face? That's you? Like, yeah. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was wild. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the whole college, which is really interesting. Like I stayed in contact with a lot of those doctors. Like I went to weddings and baby showers and all kinds of stuff, right? So, they one of them specifically, she got credited with like the information of, my case and like the head of the department. Whenever I see her, she's like, our miracle child, because there was a bunch of times that they thought they were gonna lose me, and like it just, the quick thinking of all the different doctors and the tech and the things, and like specifically, I'm a God girl, and I know that was God. Like I know there's nothing else I know. I know that, and but the combination of all the people working hard for me and like they were all invested in my life. Like my parents were there every day, my grandmother, like it was just they built a community around me in a way that wouldn't have happened if everybody wasn't praying as hard as they were for me to make it through. So like that they hold a special place, and that medical journal holds a special place. I gotta actually find it so I can like refer people to it one day.
Yeah, you should be able to share that. So caught you at is you are vegan. And so I mean clearly you probably took that experience and tried to, I'm not gonna assume, figure out what was ways that you can eat better or whatever. So kind of like take us on the journey of how you get from this lupus diagnosis to being in journals to now you want to eat no meat.
Okay, so I had no intention of going vegan. Like, I'm an animal person. Like, my demographic of people who love me are animals, babies, and old people. Like, they're like, those are my people. Like, I will, animals off the street in New York City will just come up to me and be loving on me. And their parent will be like, "Do you have treats or something?" They don't even like people. What are they doing? But, like, I don't know. I have an energy that attracts those people. So, or animals and people. So, although I never thought about it, I should have a long time ago. I went to school. I have a degree in nutrition, so they teach the standard American diet or the SAD diet, which is, some kind of a meat, a carb, and like possibly a vegetable, but not all the time. I was about to start a flare up, and I knew it. Like I could feel it. And I knew if I went to the doctor, they were just going to give me more prednisone. And I have a limit of puffy face that I will allow, okay? And I was at the limit. And I was like, I'm not doing this. So I decided not to go. And I was hanging out with my friend who was a raw vegan at that time. And he hung out with like a bunch of dread Rasta men. And we were in New York at that time. And he is like, the Rasta man told me that if you do this fast, you could get rid of the lupus altogether. And I was like, listen, I will do whatever I gotta do because I'm not taking any more prednisone. That's it. And I watched a documentary called Crazy Sexy Cancer. And she basically went on a raw vegan diet and drank a lot of wheatgrass, and she's cancer free to this day and has children and all this stuff. So with all of that, like blind, like adrenaline, and like, I'm gonna do it. She did it. I just was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. And I was getting, sicker, and I told my parents, like, this is kind of dangerous. They say if you get off of prednisone at high doses or whatever, it could stop your heart. And like, I genuinely just got off of all of my medication. I was taking, when I came out of that big, the flare up that's in medical journals, I was on 18 medication and giving myself blood thinner shots. I was not a happy girl, okay? I was not happy. And especially like I had a lot of alarms in my phone going off saying like it's time to take this medicine, it's time to take that medicine, and it was just like I was in my young 20s. I was just feeling like this is not it, right? And I felt like I was getting sicker and they were going to put me on more or higher doses, and I was not about it. So I think I was off of the blood thinners at that time. But I got off of everything. I sat my parents down and told them, I'm getting off of everything. I'm doing this fast. I did 30 days of green juice only. So it was kale, celery, apples, E3 Live, which is like a supplement, a green, like sea vegetable supplement, and lemons. I don't remember how we came to that consensus, but it was like research and talking to the Rasta man. So like, take it all for a grain of salt, people. Don't just do this. Like, do your research for your body.
Yes.
Yeah. I did 30 days only on that juice and water. My parents helped me. Like, I was still in college. Like, I was in, like, more college. I was in classes, whatever. 30 days. I put myself into remission. Like, there was no lupus in my blood work. So I went to the doctors to get blood work done after the 30 days. And she was like, whoa, like, what are you doing? Like, how, like, what doses of the medicine are you taking? And I was like, oh, I stopped taking it. And I'm sorry. But I feel great. And, like, I don't want to take it anymore. And she's like, well, whatever you're doing, if you keep doing that, then you can stay off the medicine. So I did that, stayed in remission for about 2 years or so. And then stress of, you know, working and life and whatever was coming back and I was getting sick. So I decided to do it again. So I did it again. And after the first 30-day green juice fast, I think I went back to eating way more vegetables, but not completely vegan. Just like meat didn't really appeal to me that much. I was just kind of like on a very high fruit and veg diet with some meat and whatever. Because, yeah, I just never been super, super into like meat. But like, you know, it was just normal American food, whatever. Or like my family's Jamaican and British. Normal British and Jamaican food usually would have at least like fish or something. So I didn't think anything of it. But it was way less than I was eating prior. And then I decided to do the fast again as, like, maintenance. I was like, let me re-up and let me, like, I don't want to go back on meds and whatever. So let me re-up. And I did the fast again. And during this fast, for some reason, because I wasn't as sick, I was, like, watching a lot of vegan YouTube and, like, looking at recipes and stuff like that. So, like, at the end of that 30 days, I had a bunch of recipes I wanted to try, and they all happened to be vegan. So I, at the end of the 30 days, or at the end of 30 days and 1 week, I had been completely vegan. So I realized, oh, I haven't eaten meat this whole week, and like, or cheese, or anything. I haven't eaten anything. I was like, I can do this. And I decided, I'm vegan now. I'm vegan. So the more that I have learned after that, though, the more that I can never, ever go back. I can never go back. And, like, it's a whole lifestyle now. Like, it's not just the food I eat. It's, like, the impact you have on the world is so much bigger than you realize. Like, thinking about how small you are and how big the world is, it still matters. You know, like, every ripple you put out into the ocean of the world, like, it still matters. Like, my intention is not to cause harm to myself or anyone. So, like, this is the best thing for my health. This is the best thing for the planet. This is the best thing for karma. Like, I don't steal other people's men because I don't want that karma. And I don't eat other people's babies because I don't want that karma. You know what I mean? Like, It makes sense to me.
Okay. Not other people's babies.
like that, you know, it's stuff I never, ever thought about. Like, we're the only species that just drinks random other species' milk. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to find a cat looking for, like, rat milk. Or, like, you know, like, to me, it is. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to, like, or make people feel bad, you know? Like, because I grew up 20-whatever years eating meat and not thinking of drinking milk, not even thinking about it at all. Because it's just, like, I was taught that this is what I do. Like, this is, you know, humans do this. But, like, if you really think about it, it's real weird. It's real weird. And, like, we do a lot of things and say a lot of things to make ourselves feel better about it. Like, you know, pork shoulder. Like, you're eating a pig's butt. Like, what? That sounds real weird if you just say what it actually is. Or, like, you call it beef when you're like, this is a cow. And cows are, like, giant puppies. Like, they genuinely will follow you around and want to play and want rubs and, like, are very, like, sweet animals. And to think that you're eating somebody's child or somebody's, like, mama, like, it doesn't sit right with me. Like, when I thought, I never thought about it. It wasn't something that crossed my mind. But then now I always think about it and I can't. Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know, like, I don't mean to make people feel bad because I know, like, people hate vegans because they talk about this kind of stuff. But, like, I'm not doing it for I'm doing it for a better planet, but I'm not doing it to guilt people because, like, 20-some years, I did not understand or care. Like, and I was always a nice person. I believe in God. I was a nice person. It never occurred to me. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
So how long have you been a vegan?
April will be 8 years. Yeah, 8 years will be 7 or 8. I think it's 8 in April. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So how would you say you stay committed to the vegan lifestyle? Is it because you just decided, okay, I'm just never going back? That's like everything that you explained is pretty much
how
you stay committed to the lifestyle. Then I think about it, it's like, all I gotta do is think of this animal.
So first of all, it was first and foremost for my health. So like, I never had a bad reaction to, like, milk or anything. Like, people were lactose intolerant. I never was or whatever. And, like, I liked the taste of all the things that I ate. Like, you know, I come from Jamaican background. We eat, like, curry goat. We eat, like, all kinds of feet and things, like, from the roots of the tree. But I was first and foremost for my health. And then once I researched, like, I make sure to at least, like, every 6 months to a year, I'm watching a new vegan documentary. Or, like, you know, an old one, but, like, watching something to remind me of the things and, like, keeping those things in the forefront of my mind that, like, this is not for you. Like, and I always have, like, things to share with people, little, like, posters or whatever, memes or whatever that have charts of, like, each day that you're vegan, you're saving this much water, you're impacting this many people, you're doing this for the planet. 'Cause, like, everyone's why for going or staying vegan is completely different. Like, and I find that the ones that do it only for health and don't learn anything after that, they don't stay as long because they'll do all the extremes. Like, fasting, like, the way that I did is extreme. And I wouldn't advise it unless it's, like, you know, a last resort. And I really was, like, I couldn't go back to the hospital. I couldn't do it. I mean, I've been back since, but, like, I just knew I felt like a zombie person and I needed a drastic change because I was taking all those meds and I still felt terrible. So if it's only for your health though, I wouldn't think that you're going to stay as long as, you know, and I'm only 8 years. I know people who've been vegan since the 90s and I don't know how they did that because they were eating straight brown rice and tofu and that's it. Now we have all kinds of cool burgers and, like, also, the reason that I started baking and stuff is because, like, I need people to see that, like, vegan food can be so yummy, so delicious, so, like fulfilling in a way that, like, soul food is, and still be pretty good for you. Like, if there's still sugar in the stuff that I bake, for the most part, unless I'm requested to do something no sugar, no grain, whatever, I can do that. But, like, for the masses, for, like, regular people, especially people who are not vegan at all, I bake, you know, traditional stuff. But, I'm so sorry. I just combined all your questions.
No, that was a lot of information. I think that's very helpful because it lets us know, you know, how you stay committed. I never really heard that process before as far as intentionally reminding yourself with certain videos or documentaries to kind of remind yourself, like, hey, that's why I don't do that. You know what I mean? So you purposely put yourself in those positions to stay structured. So I like that. I like that concept because I feel like if it was thrown in my face a lot more that's nasty, then I probably wouldn't want to have a taste bud for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good...
Thanks. I have a boyfriend of 3 years and he was not vegan when we met. He is very vegan now. Like, that's not... Mm-hmm. Like, it's just... It's too blatant, like, it's not, and I didn't guilt him at all, like, there's no way, like, he just saw what I was about, and saw the people I was around, like, and, like, just how gentle I am with, the planet. Like, I don't know if people are noticing, but like the weather's crazy. The like it's not normal how the planet is aging this way. So you know, every little bit we can do, it helps. Yeah. Do what I can.
Okay, so in some of the questions that I was asking you, one of the things that you said to me that stuck out, and I feel like I'm weird for saying this because it's probably something that's been around for a long time, but I've never heard it before. When you was like, start with gratitude. Mm. And you were saying, well, it basically means that it's just a great attitude.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool how she said this. So how did you come up with that concept? And like, what does that look like in your everyday life? Just practicing gratitude all the time.
I'm certain that I did not come up with that. You know why? Because ain't nothing new under the sun. Okay. I'm telling you what, like maybe the Bible, but that's it. Cause I've heard all of these things, little bits and pieces and, whatever. People reiterate things all the time. And it's not plagiarism because, you know, how you say something could hit somebody's eardrums completely differently than how someone else says it. And it's important that they hear it from you. So like, God bless you for having this podcast because you don't know who is going to say something that's going to impact someone who needs it really badly. Gratitude is a must because imagine doing something for someone every day. God wakes up every day, right? And every day he's doing you this favor, waking you up. And you just wake up and don't appreciate it or notice it or just think like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. If you went to a neighbor's house and borrowed a cup of sugar every single day and they gave you the sugar but you never said thank you, how much longer do you think they're going to give you that sugar? No, yeah. They're not going to. So I literally, every morning, I do my devotional. Like, I've not always been a Bible girl. I've always been a God girl, not always a Bible girl. This last year has been a transformation as far as me reading my Bible and all that stuff. But yeah, so every day I wake up, I do my Bible. I do, you know, some gratitude, like affirmations and that kind of thing. And then like sometimes at night, if I'm in pain, especially, I feel like maybe I got this from Dr. Goldner's book. But I've been doing it for a few years now that at night when I can't have trouble sleeping, especially if I'm in pain, I will go through head to toe, my full body gratitude. Silly. In my head, thank you God that nobody hears me because I know it sounds ridiculous, but I will be like, thank you toes. Thank you for keeping my balance. Thank you for my toenails, for being able so I can switch out the polish. Like, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for my feet. Thank you for letting them let me try on really cute shoes and let me stand up. Thank you, like, especially the places that hurt. Like, thank you for my knees. Like, I know I've walked so many miles and I'm so grateful that you'll let me walk so many more. And I'm, you know, like, I will go through my entire body, head to toe. Thank you for existing for me. Thank you for working for me. Thank you for all that I put you through. You still let me rest on you and like genuinely. And like when, I don't know if it's for everybody, but when I do that, I feel like, you know, the feeling when you hear a really good song that you love and you get, it rises up in you and you just like those, I don't know what that feeling is. It's like good goosebumps or like that kind of, when I start feeling that, I know it's like working. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel the endorphins of like, actual real gratitude in my body and like just everything and everyone. Like, I thank people around me. Like, I feel like you're not going to get more of things you're not grateful for. So like, I'm just grateful. So like, how many times I've almost died is just outrageous. Like, I'm 38, and to tell me that I would be dead by 30 if I'm lucky. And I am almost out of my 30s. And I, you know, am doing so much more than I ever imagined or they ever told me I could. Like, I want to tell you how many people have told me, like, stop doing this, stop doing that because this is not for you. And but God, like, but God, because there's no explanation. There's no explanation for me getting as far. And like, let me tell you that I'm not anywhere near where I'm going, you know, like I have goals and plans and, you know, I have a couple businesses right now that are, you know, small, but there's something. And like, I know that I could make sales from my bed. Like on days that I cannot get up, I know that I can make money in a hospital bed. I have done it before. So I have gratitude, like real, genuine, like maybe you'll have to say it a while until it feels like something to you. But like, I really believe in gratitude. Like that is number one, number one.
Now that you have all these things that you manage, you say you have a couple of businesses and you run Sweet Tea's Bakery.
Sweet Tea's Vegan Bakery. Yeah.
Vegan Bakery. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also have a podcast that you're doing. Yeah. So what are all the other things that you're doing and how do you maintain navigating all of these while you're living with lupus? Are you completely in remission right now and you don't have any symptoms?
No. Girl, I'm in pain today. I am in pain today because regular life consists of stress. And I know that lupus reacts for me with stress. So like if I'm not diligent with my like stress management and sleep, I'm not good at sleep. Wait, let me rebuke that. Let me take that back. I, in the past, have not been great with sleep. And what your body needs to regenerate and to recover every single day is sleep. So I'm working on that. But I have a couple of other businesses also. And like, I will be very shortly, I'm going to have my first masterclass, free masterclass next month, where, you know, I'm going to be offering coaching for people with chronic illnesses, mindset shifting, practices, because, you know, I know it's hard. Real life is hard. Like you can say whatever you want to say, but life is not easy. No matter if you have a chronic illness or not. So on top of life, to have a chronic illness, it is not. It is, girl.
It's I would not for never. The week. Let me. I tell wouldn't you. Recommend it. Nobody could have no stars. Bad review. Like.
Zero out of five stars for sure. Yeah, like it's just like, and we need people who actually are experiencing it to talk about it, because
yeah,
any doctor can tell you whatever, any like rheumatologist will be like, well, just do this and just da 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 and da da. Like if you're not actually going through it or haven't been through it ever in your life, I don't really want to hear anything that you're saying about it, because because you don't know. Like you're not aware of waking up with joint pain and having meetings scheduled and having, you know, I gotta use my fingers that have sometimes decided that they don't want to work, or they're all inflamed and puffy and Raynaud. So if the weather is not right, my fingertips will be all kinds of colors and painful. So like, there are just coping mechanisms, right? Like I would rather live a full life, even if sometimes I'm in pain, than to shrink down and do nothing, personally. Like, I want to live full and die empty, whatever that means. So, you know, scheduling is huge. This year specifically, I got a coach and figured out that my life is, I can't maximize my life without scheduling things and, you know, asking for grace when I need it. Like, thank you so much if I am not able to make this meeting, or if I am going to have to, you know, give myself time to get ready that's longer because I'm in pain or whatever it is. Like, people will generally give you the grace if you ask for the grace. So, girls, lupus buddies, like, we can do this. We got this. You just make an effort. Don't give up. Don't ease off the gas because, you know, sickness is happening. Sickness can happen to anyone. You just, the same things that make a successful person will break an unsuccessful person. Like, the same exact things will happen to people who aren't willing to go after it. So just go after it. Like, I refuse. Like, and I keep people around me who are going to remind me. I keep people around me who are cheer me on and be like, you got this, you can do this, and tell me why, not just because, like, okie doke, like, but biblical facts, like, you are chosen, like, this is not here to stress you, it's here to stretch you, like, this is here to build the type of person, like, build the character that you really have, like, I don't know, it's just, you know, stuff that you keep around you is important, and the stuff you keep in you, the stuff you're reading, the stuff you're listening to, like, every day, keep a motivational thing around, like, it's up to you to do it. You could lay in your bed. You could do nothing. Or you could get it. So I choose get it.
So when we were at the summit, I want to say it was you who stood up and said something about when they mentioned support groups and like your experience with that and how they could be so negative and it kind of just turned you off for that. So for some of the listeners that's never really experienced support groups, can you share a little bit of your experience so they can kind of,
okay,
like, because I mean, I wouldn't say it's a positive thing, you know, yeah, from yeah. my experience, and yeah. we kind of just bounce off each other on that. But beware, because I guess what you're saying about all the positivity and all the messages that's being around you, sometimes certain lupus environments may not be the best environment as well.
Absolutely.
So just because you are surrounded by other loopies or nope. other doctors, then
that's
like,
not what I said.
The energies.
Mm-mm. That's not what I said. I did not say find lupus people to be around. Nope. That's not what I said.
You sure didn't. No. You sure didn't. No.
Because, okay, I understand sure though, because I did not. Okay, when I was young, like, you know, like 20, I attempted to do the support group. And it made me come home crying. Like, at that time, it was incredibly negative, and everybody was just sad and in pain, and it was not good. I will never go back. And that was 100 years ago. Like, I said, I will never go back. So then when I went to that summit, which also, I was not involved in any lupus stuff until, like, this past year, I decided that I was going to, you know, be a lupus influencer. I was going to do more than just bake for people. I was going to explain what lupus is, how we can cope, how we can get better, and be an example of somebody who is doing something with lupus. So
yep.
I realized I'm going to have to meet people who have lupus, because, like, I didn't do it on purpose, but I kind of exiled everybody who was sick out of my life, because for the most part, like, unless they were, like, super positive. So I went there and I met immediately the person who hosts the Lupus Foundation's Atlanta chapter of the support group. So she is super sweet. I had her on my podcast. Super lovely. She's a vegan. She's a unicorn of a person, because I don't usually meet somebody who has lupus and is vegan. So I met her, super nice, and she told me, like, yeah, come to ours. It's not, like, gloom and doom. Like, we keep it as positive as we can. We definitely, like, talk about what we're going through, but we don't dwell, and, like, everybody will brainstorm ways to get past what you're going through, you know, even though, you know, it can be a gloomy topic, right? So I promised her at that summit, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go. It's every first Tuesday of the month. I was like, I'll go, but I'm not gonna go again if it's terrible like the one I went to. So I went to it, and it was lovely. It was lovely. I made some friends. It's virtual. Like, ever since the panorama, it stayed virtual, I guess. And but it was so lovely, and people were so nice. And even at that lupus event, I was nervous. I was nervous everybody was gonna be, like, trash. Like, it's a decision that you have to make whether or not to dwell, you know, like the gratitude part. Like, yeah, I'm in pain. Yeah. This, that, and the other, like blood transfusions and blood clots and, like, all kinds of stuff. Girl, I had shingles 3 times, which makes no sense, because every doctor's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you can't get it 3 times. And I look like a straight alien. Like, not a little bit.
What?
Alien. I had it twice in my face and once across my abdomen. And the first time, the doctor was like, he literally gasped and said, I've never seen anything that severe in my career. And he's an old man. And I was like, okay. Like, the thing about it is, I wasn't happy about it, but I definitely didn't just go into gloom and doom. That makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I hang out with people who put effort into their attitude, put effort into seeing the best. Like, I'm not fake about it. Like, it is what it is, But I will 100% pray about it. I will 100% go to people who are happier than me so that they can bring me up to them. I'm not reaching down to people who are sadder and sicker so that they can pull me down. Like, I will talk, like, I talk to and hang out with and stuff when I'm at my top. I will bring someone up to me. But if I'm already down, you don't go around other people that are down so you can just sit and commiserate, because misery loves company. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of company. I want the company that's going to lift me higher. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to, even in my hospital bed, I would be playing music, singing, like, everything. I'm just not about the gloom and doom. I'm not about it. Like, support group to me is women and men, I guess. There's not a lot of men with lupus, but people with chronic whatever who are looking to be lifted up and are actively searching for ways to feel better. If it's not only physically, mentally, because mentality, you can feel, like, have you ever been so sad that you felt it in your body? Like, that is so real. Like, the mind-body connection is so real. Like, I'm sure I sound so hippy-dippy. I'm sorry, loopies. It's just who I am. I am that hippy-dippy girl. But it's like, you pray and you meditate and you feel happiness. Like, if you ever felt happiness or ever felt sadness, like, felt it in your body, that is the energy I'm trying to stay around. Is not trying to. The energy I am only staying around, I demand it in my life, is the positive energy that is going to lift me higher. And, like, once I'm there, once I'm in a great space, I can, you know, I can get my loopies that are not all at once, though. I'm not going to go to a meeting where there's 20 of us hysterically crying, but, like, I'm going to reach out to somebody who I know is not as good as me, you know? Yeah. Sorry, I talk. I'm so sorry.
Look, I love it. I love it. Everything that you have to say. So if my audience would like to work with you, collab with you, get some of your vegan goods, what do they have to do to reach out to you?
Okay, so I have two methods. So for everything, you can find everything on Tennille the Captain Instagram page. And then I also have the Instagram page that's only for my baked goods, which is Sweet Teas. It's Sweet underscore TEEES. That's my bakery stuff. You can find all that on my regular page. And I'm going to post my link tree soon, because I have a lot of links. Because I also have Sweet Teas vegan website, which you can order off of, but y'all get on that page and tell me how I can fix it, because people have a really hard time ordering and I don't know, like, how to help them. But yeah, so I have lots of things, and, like, I'm on Instagram and Facebook on Mondays doing my podcast. It's called Happily Healed with Tennille, and it's mostly transformative stories, sick people chronically in some kind of way, or, like, I had my doctor on who was with me for the 3 months in the hospital. But if you guys want to be a guest, or if you know somebody, or if you can convince Shadrika to be on my podcast, that would be great.
You do not have to convince me.
Yes, that would be so awesome.
Yes.
You and your fiance are just phenomenal people. Like, he just was so sweet out of complete random nowhere, and I was, you know, timid at that event, and I was like, stranger danger. But he was so nice, and he's like, and this is my fiance, and da-da-da, like, before you were in a session, but before you came out, he was, like, telling me all about you, and I was like, oh, she sounds great, can I be her friend? Like, yeah. Oh. Yeah, like, this is an amazing podcast. I'm really excited and proud of you. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super excited to see what we all do together and just moving forward in the community, because I feel like everybody that I've been talking to lately, they're so ready to like build a team and let's hurdle around each other and let's just push. So I'm ready. I'm excited.
Yes, it's the renaissance. I'm telling you, like Beyonce was talking about it before it was happening, but like it's the renaissance. Like this is it. I've never met so many positive chronically ill people. Like, we're not only chronically ill, we're chronically amazing, we're chronically driven, we're
powerful.
It's so good. Oh, also on my I have a TikTok, Tenille, mm-hmm. So Silly, and I do affirmations every day, or like every night. I'm on 380 days of consistent affirmations, 1 minute of affirmations every night. So if you want to go there and support me, that'd be cool. I would like to hit 1,000. I have like 800 something.
Oh, that's good. Like, that's good. Yeah. Now, we might not know because they might shut TikTok down. So
Right? That would be really sad. I would be really sad. Hopefully not. But yes. We'll see. I'll post them somewhere else. I'll probably put them on my Instagram or something. I don't know. But yeah, over a year of doing affirmations every day. So
cool.
Thanks.
Hey, so thank you so much for joining the show. If you guys want to check out Tenille, you can definitely go look at all her information. And it's so good to speak with you today.
Thank you so much.
And until next time, you guys, peace and be intentional.
Bye.
As we wrap up another episode of Lupus Speaks, I hope you are leaving with renewed inspiration and a belief that dreams are attainable despite lupus or any chronic illness. Let's keep the conversation going by connecting with us at Lupus Speaks on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. But please remember, you are not alone on this journey and that your dreams are not defined by lupus. They're powered by your strength and determination. So until next time, you guys, peace and be intentional.